Welcome to the Jesus Culture Sacramento Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Banny Leibscher.
We are in a series, as all of you would know, called The Church I See. We're taking the last part of the year and just kind of going through some of the core values, some of the foundational pieces of our culture and our church, our community, as we hit that four-year mark, just kind of again visiting or revisiting kind of some of the issues that we see God doing and building. Well, I don't know, we're 10 or 11 in, but right now, let me just show you this. This is what we've gone through so far. The Church I See is an apostolic church. You'd have to go back. If you weren't here for this, or if that language is new to you, you'd have to go back and listen to it. But an apostolic church, radically generous, is full of hope, is generational, is authentic, believes nothing is impossible, is submitted to Scripture, is a family that serves, are reconcilers, celebrates well. And then today, I want to talk about this issue that the Church I See is passionate about growth. Now, I'm not talking about numerical growth, which, you know, we want to reach people in our city, and we love that God is continually numerically growing our church and impacting people. But I want to talk about that we're a church that has a passion for individual personal growth, that we are passionate about people growing. In order to fully understand this concept and fully understand what I'm talking about this morning, you need to know two words. Two words that are really important for your Christian walk. The first one is justification. If you didn't grow up in the church at all, then maybe the words justification and sanctification are a little bit foreign to you. Or maybe you did grow up in the church and you've heard of them, but you don't really know what they are. But here's what they are. This is what justification is. Justification is a legal change from guilt to innocence. It's when I got saved, when I accepted the work of Jesus that he did on the cross, when I asked him to forgive me of my sins, when I got saved, there was a legal transaction that happened. Because the penalty, the Bible says that the penalty for sin is death. So the penalty that I owed in my sin was death. I accepted the work that Jesus did on the cross, therefore that penalty was satisfied, and now I am justified. I am legally innocent. When I stand before God, he will see me as innocent because of the blood of Christ. So it's a legal change from guilt to innocence. It's a once for all time at conversion. It is not a continual thing that happens. It happened and it can never be taken away. Perfect in this life, manifested in judgment, same degree in all Christians. So you are not more justified than I am. I am not more justified than you are. I am not more saved or less saved. We are justified. And then this is what I would say at the end, that nobody can change this. One of the reasons why we should be so secure is that God sees us as innocent now because of the blood of Christ, and nobody can change that. Nobody can change that. You can't change that. Somebody else can't change that. And there's great security in that. So justification is that legal change from guilt to innocence, and it's a one-time deal. But the other word that you need to know, which is going to tie in today, is the concept and the word sanctification. Sanctification comes from two Latin words, which mean holy and make. So it's a concept being made holy. It is the outworking of your salvation as you change daily. It is continuous from conversion. It is progressive in this life, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now let me read these two verses to you before we get to the other verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says this: "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." That phrase right there. That those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Galatians 4:19 says this, Paul writing to the Galatians says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth," or one translation is, "for whom I labor until Christ is formed in you." "For my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." This is the concept of sanctification. Wayne Grudem says that sanctification is a progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives. So when Jesus left, he gave us the Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is now sanctifying our life. He is changing us and renewing us and growing us day in, day out to look like Jesus. When Adam and Eve were created, they were created in the image of God. When sin came in, it broke that. Jesus came to restore that. So Jesus came to restore in us the image of God and has given us the Holy Spirit so that we would be conformed into Him, into His image, and that He would be formed in us. This is the goal. This is what we're going after. When you got born again, you became a new creation. You are saved. You cannot get more saved. You don't get more saved, all right? Are you with me on this thing? I am saved, and you don't get more saved. But you do, through the working of the Holy Spirit, are transformed daily, renewed daily, to look more and more like Jesus. This is the goal. Growth is the goal. Growth and maturity is the goal in your life. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life to grow you. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life to mature you so that you would look like Jesus. Now, listen, again, I'm saved. The Holy Spirit doesn't make me more saved. In fact, when it says that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we know that salvation happens from grace alone, not from works. You cannot work your way into salvation. But when it says that I need to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, I am saved, but there is now a working, a processing, a farming analogy that things are growing in my life to look like Jesus. Now, throughout Scripture, you see that as believers, our lives are connected to the picture of a tree, that we are planted, that we are growing, that we are thriving, that we're planted by a stream, and that we're planted in the house of the Lord, that there's this analogy of our life connected to the picture of a tree that's planted as a seed and then is growing. But the picture we see in the New Testament, similar to that, is not necessarily a tree planted, but as a baby that is born and is maturing into an adult. This is the picture that we see. In fact, in 1 Peter 2:2 says this, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So again, when I got saved, I became a new creation. But as I come in as a believer, as a baby, there that Peter says, hey, what you need is the pure spiritual milk, because that's gonna be the thing that gives you the nutrients that you need to be able to grow in your salvation. It's the same picture. It's that we're a tree that's planted that has to grow. We're a baby that's born that needs milk so that we can grow. But here's where my challenge is for you this morning, and here's one of the passions of our church, is that many people get stuck in infant mode. Many people get stuck in immature mode. Now, just so that you understand, we are, how would I say this? We all have areas of immaturity in our life. In fact, it's one of the reasons why, not just as you get older, but as you get more mature, you have a tendency to stop looking down on other people because you recognize a lot more like, oh, you may have some immaturity in your life, but I have immaturity in my life as well. Like I may be maturing in my faith, but there are things that the Lord is still having to grow in me and do in me. But one of the things that I'm concerned about is that sometimes we seem to get stuck in infant mode or in baby mode. Now, the writer of Hebrews and Paul both address this subject. When writing to the Hebrews and then when writing to the Corinthians for Paul, the writer of Hebrews and Paul both address this subject. Now, let me read this to you. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Now, again, hear me on this. Milk is not bad. Peter actually says it's really important. He says it's really important that you have that because there's the nutrients that you need. But there should be a time when you've matured and moved beyond that. Your life should be growing where you no longer are having to have that, but you can move on to what you're gonna hear is solid food. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, and then going into chapter 6. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you. because you no longer try to understand. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Again, you can see throughout Scripture, it's this constant progression. The Christian life is one of moving forward. The Christian life is one of progressive growth, of maturing. I was a baby, now I'm adult. I was a seed, now I'm a tree. And so here, it's using the analogy of you were students, but you should move on from that. Not that you never stop being a student, but I'm a student. You should be maturing. And he says, you should be a teacher by now. You should be a teacher by now, which means there should have been growth that's happened in your life. You were never meant to stay there. You were always meant to move forward. That's the Christian life. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. And then he says this, you need milk, not solid food. This is not a positive. Anyone who lives on milk being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food, here's the language, is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. Paul has a similar sentiment in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, when he says this, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. Again, here's what's gonna happen. Spirit is mature. Those who live by the Spirit is a picture of maturity. He says, I cannot address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Worldly is connected to immaturity. He's not talking to believers and unbelievers. He's talking to believers. He says, I wish I could talk to you as mature people that live in the Spirit, but instead I'm having to talk to you, but I'm talking to immature believers, immature people who are still worldly. And then listen what he ties it into. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready for it. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? Which we'll get to in a moment. The Christian life is a life of maturing, which means that we should constantly be maturing as believers and not stuck as infants. This is a real passion for me, because if we're going to say we're passionate about looking like Jesus, if we're gonna say we're passionate about the Holy Spirit being able to accomplish what he was sent for, to transform us, to conform us into the image of Christ, then we have to be passionate about growth. And we have to be not okay with just staying as infants. Paul addressed this later on in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. He actually talks about, when I was a kid, I acted like a kid, but I'm not a kid anymore. This is what he says. He said, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, again, progression happened. Maturity happened. Growth happened. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. One of the things I just need to tell you right now is immaturity is not something that we're like angry or mad at. Because the goal, maturity is the goal, but it's not the requirement. That we're maturing is the requirement, that we're moving forward is the requirement, that we're not just staying where we are and okay with it, but that we're moving forward. We all have areas of immaturity in our life. Even whenever I look back, you know, when you look back and look at what you did as a kid, you know, it's kind of funny. It's less funny as you get older, but it's funny, you know. I must have been 16 or 17. My parents were in the first service, and I was thinking, like, I don't even know if they've heard some of my high school stories. But I had a friend, his name was Jared. Most of my illustrations come from my relationship with Jared in high school. He's just my best friend, and he had like this old, like early 80s Chrysler that they had put like a Corvette engine in. And so we'd drive around town. It was this little beater that went really fast. And we were in my neighborhood one time, and he was coming around the corner and decided to go up on the curb. So he goes up on the curb, and then he comes off the curb. And when he comes off the curb, he pops both right tires. the back tire and the front tire simultaneously both blew, like they both popped. And so we're kind of on the road like this, and we're like, what are we gonna do? And we don't have any money. And so we spent like the next few hours figuring out how to go get tires and all that. So we finally come, we take the tire, the wheels off, and we put on the new tires. And we put them all on, and it's just us. I'm like 16, he's 17, and we put them all on. And then when we go, he's gotta leave, and so he's just on a neighborhood street. He's gonna make a U-turn. So he takes off to make a U-turn, just like a movie. The front tire pops off, starts rolling down the road, and our car just sits there like this on that rotor. And we just sat there going like, is that your tire? I think your tire is rolling down the neighborhood road. You know, we don't know what we're doing at all, and we're not even thinking. Like, you're like, your brain doesn't develop until 30? I don't know. But what we didn't know was that the back wheels and the front wheels had somehow, like, the bolts were different. And so we had just kind of not even kept the bolts separate. We'd put them in a pile. And then when we put the bolts all back on, they were different on the front and the back. And so the tire just flew off. Like, you kind of look back now and go, that's kind of funny. Unless I'm doing that at 42 years old. Like, it's less funny at 42. It's more concerning. You know what I mean? You're like, what happened? I don't know. I was up on the thing and I popped my tires, and then we just threw new tires onto the tire. Like, yeah, that's less funny when you're 42. Right? Like we kind of accept, okay, it was immature and that's okay, but like, there should be some progression in your life. You shouldn't be doing the same thing you were doing at 16. It's the same thing in our spiritual life. We're not upset. We're not upset about immaturity, but there should be forward movement. There should be progression. There should be a passion that my life is growing and maturing, that I'm not acting like I was when I was 16 years old. And this is what Paul's dumbfounded. Paul's writing to the Corinthians and like, Paul in essence is like, I'm confused. I should be able to give you solid food by now. But instead, I'm having to revert back and giving you milk like you're an infant. Why has there not been growth? Why are you not living in the spirit rather than simply living worldly as mere humans, which he associates with being an infant? The Christian life is a life a forward progression. Part of my concern is that we live in a society that keeps people perpetually immature because nothing is ever their fault. It's this thing of like, we somehow wanna like my life is not my fault, my actions aren't my fault, and somebody else is to blame. And the problem with that is it never really makes me look at myself and go, where do I need to grow? That's why even it's so fascinating, this phrase. He says, you're worldly is connected to being an infant. And he says, you're acting like just mere humans. That phrase, well, I'm only human. If you're using that phrase in your life for the reason why certain things are happening, you just have to understand, in essence, Paul is saying that you're a baby. The goal, you're not a mere human. You've been born again. The Spirit of God lives inside of you, is transforming you, is growing you until you're not a human, until you are living in the Spirit as a mature adult. This is the goal. This is what we're going after. And the deal is this: you may not be there, and that's okay. I really want to communicate this. You may not be there, that's okay. We just want you headed there. Sanctification isn't that I am completely mature, completely perfect, completely look like Jesus. Everything I do, I look, I live, I act, I respond, I talk exactly like Jesus. No, there's a lot of me that doesn't. However, I am moving that direction. This is the goal of the Christian life, is maturity, to look like Jesus, and therefore we have to be passionate about growth. The question that we would ask then is, if we're passionate about looking like Jesus, then we have to be passionate about growth. How do we know if we're maturing? I think first you have to stop making excuses for your immaturity, and at some level, stop beating yourself up for it. I don't know if I could release people from this, but there's immaturity in your life. Stop beating yourself up for it and just say, God, it's there, and I need you to grow me. I need you to grow me. I think sometimes when we are so discouraged by immaturity that we see, we just kind of stay where we are. But how do we know? How do we know we're maturing? I can tell you, for me, I want to know progress. I want to know, like, am I headed the right direction? How far along have I come? And we're wanting to know, all of us want to know progress. If you've ever been on the journey of weight loss, which I've actually never taken a picture, but people take pictures, you know, in just their shorts, and they take a picture because they want to, you know, and then they post it online, which is fine. I don't have a problem with it, but I actually love seeing the journey. But the reason why we're doing that is, you're like, because I want to take another picture in a year, and I want to know I've made progress. I want to know there's progress that's happened. I can tell you, for me, because I'm such an impatient guy, one of the things that I've loved, you know, with technology, you're constantly downloading something, updating something, you know, watching something. So before, they didn't have the progress bar. You know, you're like, is it downloading? I think it is. How long is it going to take? I don't know how long it's going to take. Like, and now it's like telling you, it's got a little bar that's telling you how far along you are. I love it. I'm just so happy every time I see that thing. Okay, it's going slow. It's not going slow. I have some grid for what's happening right now and if I'm headed the right direction. We all want that stuff. Like, how do I know if I'm progressing? How do I know if I'm maturing? Here's the standard. Here's the measurement. Are you ready for this? It's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. If the Holy Spirit is at work in your life to sanctify you and grow you, then it would come to reason that the fruit of the Spirit is the manifestation of maturity in your life. So if I want to know if I'm maturing, the fruit of the Spirit is the marker for what a mature life looks like. Here it is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things answer these questions for me. Do I look more like Jesus? Do I have the mind of Christ? Do I think like him? Do I respond like Jesus? Do I have the perspective of Jesus? This is even why in 1 Corinthians 3, when Paul is writing about that you can't even handle solid food, you're not ready for it, he says in verse 3, you are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? He's actually saying, hey, you know that jealousy and you know that quarreling? Immaturity. Immaturity. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. So how do I know if I'm progressing in my life? How do I know? Well, I look at the fruit of the Spirit. Is there more joy in my life this year than there was last year? Am I walking in more peace this year than I was last year? Am I more patient this year than I was last year? Am I more kind? Am I more gentle? That fight I just had with my wife that would have lasted 7 days, it only lasted one day. Progress. I'm more like Jesus. When my kids, who want to test the fruit of the Spirit of patience in my life, God has put kids in my life for one reason and one reason alone, and that is to test the fruit of the Spirit, to work it out in my life. And I say, that situation last year, that would have caused me to be impatient. And this time, 30 minutes, I kind of got it together. That's good news. I'm making progress. I remember somebody saying in marriage, an older couple, they told CJ and I, they said, it's not that you don't have fights anymore, they're just a lot shorter. And it's true, because as you mature, as you grow, you might have that thing and say, I responded differently. I thought differently there. My patience manifested quicker there. These are all good signs that I'm maturing, that I'm growing, and recognizing, God, there's still more work to be done, but I'm moving forward. That's the goal. That's the goal, that I'm moving forward. That although there is work, I'm still headed this direction. And that my patience, that jealousy, that situation before, I would have been really jealous. Man, I felt something in my heart for a little bit there, but I stopped. I recognized what truth is. I connected with God, and that jealousy thing's gone. That's good. I'm maturing. What would have bothered me before doesn't bother me like it did. These are all good signs as we move forward. When you're committed to growth, what happens is you begin to see situations differently. One of the reasons why people are so frustrated in their walk with God or in their Christian life is that they don't recognize that the things around them are happening to actually grow them. Why am I in community? Community is a beautiful thing, but it's frustrating, it's hurtful, it's confusing, it's annoying, it can be hard, it's messy. It's beautiful, but it's all those things too. I think, God, why is this so messy? Until I realize, oh, your goal for me is growth. You're trying to grow me. You're trying to mature me. You're trying to have joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, love, all of those things manifest in a greater way in my life. Wow, community is a pretty beautiful place where that's getting worked out. Community isn't just there, you know, to make me feel good all the time. Community is there to grow me. You begin to say, God, it feels like I'm in a season of pruning. Feels like you're stripping things away from me. It feels like things are coming off of me and you're pruning my life. Why would you be pruning me? And then you recognize, oh, it's because your goal is to grow me. Is that if I'm to mature and if I'm to grow and if I'm to be healthy, then there has to be pruning in my life. Even pruning is connected to growth. So what it says about pruning, pruning is necessary to ensure proper growth and maturation of a tree. By removing dead or competing branches, a tree's shape or habit can be significantly improved. Sound pruning can encourage vigorous, healthy growth. It is also an important method of maintaining a tree's health. Injured or diseased branches can and should be pruned accordingly. Sometimes we don't understand seasons of pruning because we have lost perspective that God is trying to grow us, that the Holy Spirit is there to sanctify us, to conform us into the image of Christ. So God comes and says, there's some dead branches in your life. There are some diseased branches in your life. There are some things that are hindering growth in you. And I'm gonna come, I need to remove those things. I need to come and cut back some things in your life. And you experience this as pruning, but God comes to do that in order to grow you. And there are seasons of subtraction because God's trying to make room for healthy growth to happen in your life. It can be very confusing to walk that out if you don't have at your core this understanding that, God, I wanna grow. And you're trying to grow me. Seasons of dryness, seasons that feel dry. Not every season of your life is going to be one that you feel so close to God at all times and everything is fantastic spiritually. There are times when sometimes it feels a little bit dry, but it's in those seasons that God is trying to create a depth in you. He's wanting your roots to go deeper than they've ever been. And quite frankly, he's trying to get you to have a connection with him that is not just based on how you feel. Somebody asked me the other day, CJ and I will be married 21 years this month. This person said, hey, has your marriage lost a little bit of its pizzazz or a little bit of its excitement? And I sat and thought about that for a second. I said, well, if you're asking me if our marriage is the same that it was when we were in our early 20s, where everything felt like date night and everything's exciting and it's all this type of stuff, no, not at all. It's not that it's grown stale, it's not that it's grown mundane, it's not that it's grown boring, but it's not like that. But I will tell you this, there is a depth of connection that I have to that woman. There is a depth of love that I feel for her that is so much beyond what I would have known in my early 20s. And so to somehow say like marriage is not always exciting. Marriage is not always exciting. There are tough times and there are boring times and there are exciting times, but those seasons actually begin to put a depth of commitment inside of you. They begin to put a depth in your relationship. And when we understand, God, I understand that you want to grow me, you want to mature me. Sometimes there are seasons that are trying to get you to go deeper so that you can mature in your relationship with the Lord. They don't make sense if you don't have this grid. I will tell you this, that many times in seasons of testing, God is trying to reveal some things to you. He's trying to reveal one, areas that you still need to grow. Somebody irritates me at some level, there's immaturity that starts coming up inside of me. And the Lord's trying to reveal, hey, that thing needs to get worked on. That's immature. And you say, oh God, I just need you to grow me and mature me in this area. But many times, God's testing you to reveal how mature you've become. It's amazing to me how many people don't like going through stuff. And you're like, listen, you're going through stuff because God's trying to show you, hey, you know how you responded to that situation? Look how better you responded to that situation than you did a year ago. That's the progress bar. Look how far you've come. I'll end with this and then I'll let you go, but I actually have become very grateful for those seasons because I've begun to find that they're a real gift because one, they show me what he's done in my life. They've shown me, you've done something. You've been at work in my life because the fruit of the Spirit, maturity, is manifesting quicker or in a more full way. And I just say, Lord, I'm so grateful that you're allowing me to walk out what I actually believe. There are certain things that I believe, but until I walk them out, that there's a depth that comes not in believing them, but in walking out what I believe. It's a silly story, but when I wrote my first book, it's probably 10 years ago now. Writing a book is really vulnerable. I don't know how to describe it. Like preaching, I'm like, whatever. Like if today sucked, I'll be here next week. We're coming back. But there's rarely ever there's never a sermon that makes or breaks you or whatever else. But a book, it's way more vulnerable. And it's like, it's years and years and you put it all out there. And so you have this book, it's almost like you had a child that you're like not convinced is cute, but you really need other people not to tell you it's ugly. Cause it's gonna, here's my baby. I don't think it's that pretty. Please don't tell me it's ugly. But the ability to say, God, I'm secure in you and you alone. I don't need the affirmation of people for my security. And I believe that. And I'm not writing this book so everybody will like it or like me. I'm writing this book that you're like this is what I believe. Well, then he gets you an opportunity to walk it out. I remember we were in England with about 500 people in this room doing one of our conferences. And we're handing out CDs at the announcement time. And literally people are crawling over each other trying to get a free CD. Like elbowing people, running to the front, rushing to the front to get a free CD. Then we hand out CDs and then the guy gets up. He says, Banning wrote a book. It's really good, you should get it, describes it. And then there was a lady, so I'm probably 33 at the time, and I'm sitting there from here to there, and this lady like in her 40s is still in the middle aisle, and the guy goes, hey man, you right there, I'm gonna give you this. She had rushed forward for a CD and was kind of making her way back. He said, you know what, man, you didn't get a CD, but I'm gonna give you a book. And I'm not kidding you, out loud, she goes, ah, can I just have a CD? I'm like, I'm 10 feet away from you and I have feelings. She didn't even want a free book. She didn't want, like, I want to give you this free book that Banning wrote. Nah, can I just have a CD instead? You know what? I hate you. But honestly, I mean, it's a silly story. it's a silly example, but I just think, God, I'm so grateful that you allow me to walk out what I actually believe. That book isn't what defines me. That whether people want to buy it or not doesn't define me. Isn't where I'm looking for my value. I've got my value in you. And I'm so grateful that you're allowing me to walk this out. And I'm pretty encouraged because I actually am living what I believe. I'm responding better, quicker. And yet I still have work to do. We're going to pray a prayer today. In fact, in first service, I started leading the prayer and it was like a real prayer. When I'm like, God, help me be more patient. I didn't respond as well as I wanted to yesterday. Yesterday, I didn't respond. I got there, but it took me longer than I'd ever wanted to take me. I want my first response to be the fruit of the Spirit, not my second response. Right? And so I can pray that prayer. But guys, we have a passion for you to grow. I want you to look like Jesus. I want the image of Christ to be formed in you. I want you to be conformed into his image. But we all have to say, all right then, we're on this journey. Let's grow. Immaturity, I'm not going to make excuses for. When there's quarreling and when there's jealousy and when there's things that are opposite the fruit of the Spirit, I'm not going to make excuses for it, but I'm going to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I just need you to continue to grow me. And then I'm going to be grateful in situations where God is either revealing to me I need to grow or he's revealing to me how much I've grown. Those are both beautiful things. God, I didn't realize I needed to grow in that area, God. Oh, thank you for showing that to me. Now come and mature my life. Holy Spirit, come and sanctify that area. And then other times like, God, I still have work to do, but I am pretty encouraged of how I just handled that situation. I didn't have any money in the bank and I got a bill and that normally would have sent me spinning. But man, peace is just manifesting because maturity knows this, God will take care of me. I'm so grateful, God. Stand up with me. Grab a hand of somebody next to you. God, we commit to being a community that is passionate about growth. God, in our own lives and for the people we're holding hands with, may we be a people that grow. If you're in this room and you've been feeling guilty or beating yourself up about immaturity, listen, don't beat yourself up. Just give it for the Lord and say, God, I pray that you'd grow me. I don't want to make excuses for it, but I also don't want to just sit in it. I want to move forward. God, may we be a community that is passionate about growth because we are passionate about looking like Jesus, about the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in its fullness in our life. And I'm so grateful, God, that you've given us your Holy Spirit. There's nothing we face on our own. There's nothing we face where we're powerless. There's areas of my life that feel out of control, but I know that you're powerful and you're walking with me.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Hungry for more? Search Jesus Culture on your podcast platforms to check out more from our Jesus Culture podcast network.